Well, hi, welcome to Hourglass Brides. This is Nicole Brandon, and I'm very excited to have you on the air with us today. We have an amazing guest for you. I'm so thrilled about today's talk, about today's conversation, about today's secrets and the tools and the keys that you'll be learning from him. He is known as the Passion Consultant. So what better guest for our bridal show? His name is Barry Selby, and any minute we're going to bring him on, and I'm going to get to introduce him to you. And he's truly such an amazing, amazing man and really has keys and secrets that you're going to be so excited about in your relationships and your love and your future. And so I'm absolutely thrilled. And then we have Shelley Lefko coming on from the Lefko Institute, and Shelley is going to talk about step-parenting. And I know so many people these days are marrying people that have children, and they're ready-made families, and how you deal with that, and how you parent for the first time, and how you integrate families. And so she's going to really give us some tremendous advice on how to buy your first house. And so that's very exciting. And then we have one of my very favorite people on the planet, Dr. Lise Janelle, who is calling us from Canada, and she's going to be with us. And so that's very exciting. So before we bring Barry on, I just want to tell you a little bit about him. So he is a published author. He is an inspirational speaker and a very caring guide. His mission is helping people have the most authentic and rewarding romantic relationships. With his heart, his wisdom, and yes, passion, he facilitates singles and couples to having the relationships that they've always dreamed about. His clients discover how juicy, rewarding, and fulfilling relationships can truly be. Barry was born and raised in England, so you will hear the accent today, which I love, and he moved to the United States in 1981. Along the way, he had his own fair share of dysfunctional relationships, and I actually have, you know, seen him through the highs and lows and the ebbs and the falls, and so it's so wonderful to see him so radiant right now, and we'll talk to him about his own life and his own failed romances and broken hearts, and that he knew that something was really off, and he realized it might have something to do with him, which is for all of us, I think, something we want to look inside. And so he started embarking on this personal journey, studying human development and personal relationships, and he invested in seminars and books and teachings, and he studied with the masters, and studied with all of the top teachers and guides, and along the way, he earned a master's degree in spiritual psychology, and he's a professional spiritual counselor. So we're going to talk about what a professional spiritual counselor does. He has distilled his own core teachings from his journey, and combined with his big heart and his loving compassion, and I know this about him, you see him, and he just lights up a room. He inspires, he encourages, he empowers his clients, his audiences, his friends, and all the people around him. And so we're so excited to have Barry on today. So I want to welcome you, Barry, to the show. Welcome to Hourglass Bride.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you on our show. Now, Barry, what I was saying, you know, and telling our viewers about, there is something so special about you. And, you know, you don't know when you look in the mirror like, do you say, oh, my gosh, you radiate. There is something about your energy. And I watch people, and people, like, race over to you, and they race to just be in your company. And they just, they're people around you. They're like little puppies with their tails wagging just when they see you. They're so excited. So it's true. It's really, really true. I think I've never seen anyone that people are so overjoyed to see. So as a passion consultant, obviously you've connected to something not only in your own heart, but something that's been able to reach other people. So tell us, what is a passion consultant? What do you do?
Well, the truth simply is my coach called me that many moons ago simply because he was very aware how passionate I am about people having the best in life. And primarily the area that I focus that in is in relationships. And so I'm joyful and humbled and grateful when I can help people get what they want. I actually met somebody today who I've known for a couple of years, and she was so beaming at me because she was sharing that the man who I just met being proposed to her last night. And I was so touched and so passionately excited about their new life together. It was exciting for me. So I think that's probably the core of where it comes from for me.
Oh, it's just amazing. Now, I was looking at your website, and it says three keys to getting what you want. Can you share with, I'm sure, our audience and our viewers so would love to know what are the three keys to getting what you want. And where did you find them? I want to go looking for these keys.
Well, the three keys actually is a video series that I put together that I invite people to sign up for, but I'll give you the snippet so you can get a head start. The three keys basically, and I say this so simply, is basically you've got to handle the past, the present, and the future. And what I mean by that is that until we are willing to heal and bless and release the baggage from our history, it's like an autopilot driving us off track. So we won't get what we want unless we resolve what we have in the past. That's one key. The second key is to really know what we want. For many people, they use relationships as an against thing, as in they don't want they had before, but they back into the next relationship hoping it's different. And that, again, is not a guarantee for success. So I help people to clarify what they want to do and how to get it. And the third key, which is subtle and yet so vital, is to really be present to yourself. If we aren't willing to appreciate ourselves, nobody else will. So it's how do we respect, honor, and really deepen in the connection we have to our own heart, our own loving, and our own gifts so that we can attract the relationship that we really want.
That's amazing. That's really fantastic. Now, you're from England.
Yes.
And I read on your website, and I know this, you know, because I know you, and I have watched you go through this roller coaster of life and love and romance and heartache. And, you know, I know for myself, you know, that I went through this incredible physical journey. You know, I went from, you know, being like the pinnacle, you know, of the Jack LaLanne and Arnold Schwarzenegger fitness, you know, from my own body, you know, being blown apart to putting myself back together again, and now I am able to teach in such a profound level. And so tell us a little bit about your journey. Obviously, your heart has been blown apart, and you've not only put it back together again, but you've put it back together in a way that it is now so strong that you can share it with people and teach people how to strengthen their own heart. And so just give us a little insight, if you would, into you.
Sure. One of the pieces is for me is that I looking back, I can see as a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult, I've always been very sensitive. It's been a natural gift of mine and at times a curse. And so I always picked up things around me. And talking about the baggage from the past, I'm very grateful and thankful for my family upbringing. You know, my parents were together 59 years till my mother passed away last year. And we didn't have abuse, thankfully, or abandonment or divorce or anything in our family like that. But there's subtle levels. And what I didn't realize until my early 20s, that one of the paradigms I picked up from my parents was the fact that they never argued, which sounds amazing. But the truth was, being English, partly, the emotional expression wasn't necessarily as strong as it would be in other places. So when there's a difference of opinion, it wouldn't be an argument. It would be something different and subtler. And so when I was being raised, I believed that people in love didn't argue. That played havoc with my early dating life, my teens and 20s particularly, where I'd be in a relationship and have a wonderful connection, intimacy, joy, chemistry, sex, all the stuff was wonderful. And then there'd be an argument, and I'd leave. Because I had no reference points that love and upset could go together, or in fact that upset could be overcome back to love. And that was what sparked my first awakening and pain that said, okay, there's something more to this. I'm obviously off track somewhere. And I had no tools around me at that point, so I started looking. And in my early 20s, I began this lifelong journey, and it's still going, of studying and learning about human development, personal growth, the human interaction relationship paradigm that I didn't know how to do very well. Now, I knew I didn't have the worst of it by any stretch of the imagination, but I found my own dysfunctional way through relationships that came my own divining rod, my own recognition of like where I'm not having what I want because I'm doing something inside myself. Because the biggest lesson I kept learning more and more was the only common denominator in all my relationships was me. So until I shifted how I related to the world, how I related to myself, how I related to my partner, my relationships weren't going to change. And that was a life-changing experience. And I think anybody who gets that learns how to change their own paradigm of relationship when it's about the self-discovery journey to create what you want.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's so interesting that you talk about that with your parents, and this is not something that I really have ever discussed on the radio or in any of my stage time or in any of my books, but till this very day, I have never seen my parents argue about anything. I've never once seen my parents fight, and that has messed me up a little bit in relationships because I see people disagree, and I didn't understand what that was. And I asked my mom once, and I said, you know, I don't understand because you and Dad never had an argument. You've never disagreed about anything, and there are all these, you know. My mom said, honey, of course, you know, we had different opinions and views. We're different people. She said, but our disagreements were about how to raise you, about finance. They weren't your problems. They were Eric's. They were things that we never brought them in front of you because they were not your issues. They were things that we worked out as adults. But from my perception, I have never seen them argue. People used to love to come to my house because it was so quiet. They would say, your house is always so quiet, and people are always so happy. And the very first day that I moved to California, I was in Venice Beach. And for those of you that are listening from, you know, internationally or that are, you know, across the nation, Venice Beach is a very colorful beach in California, and it's one of the most visited beaches and tourist beach, and you see everything. It's there are entertainers and there are artists and there's whatever. But my very first day landing in California and landing in Los Angeles, I went to Venice Beach, and there was a man in Venice Beach, and he was riding a unicycle, and he was juggling chainsaws. He really was. And I remember watching him absolutely mesmerized as he was riding this unicycle and juggling chainsaws. And two things came into my mind. One was, at what point in his life did he say, I know what I'm going to do? And he had this great calling to ride a unicycle and juggle chainsaws. And the other was, how does he do that? I watched him ride this unicycle and juggle chainsaws, and I was like, how does he do that? Where does that come from? And when I watch people argue, the very same thing happens to me. Those same two questions that I had that day when I watched this man ride the unicycle and juggle chainsaws comes to mind. The first thing is I watch people argue and I say, at what point did they decide that's what they were going to do? Mm-hmm. That was the choice. That they said, I know what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, this screaming and this rage and whatever takes over. And the other is I watch people fight, like it's a tennis match. Like, I watched the left and the right and the left and the right and the left and the right, and I go, how did they do that? It's the same thing that happens to me. And so can you talk about that, you know, if your only view is serenity, or if you grew up with rage and you want serenity, how do you find those pieces in yourself to make those bridge and those connections?
Well, that is the piece, because we do, in fact, have wiring we pick up by watching, observing behavior, especially as younger kids, because we don't have the skills to discern what's right or wrong for us. So we take on those things automatically. So whether it is rage or abandonment or those things, we think it's normal. And the challenge is that we don't know how to separate initially. So what it comes back to is, when I work with my clients, particularly especially from the psychology background, is I help the clients go back to that younger place where they tied back the two together, whether it was rage and loving or abandonment and loving, and learn how to unravel that so it no longer becomes the pattern that runs through their life. Because it's quite often that those of us who are raised a certain way will propagate and repeat that behavior in our interactions as well as our relationships. So for those of us who find that's not what we ultimately want, that's how we shift it, to go back to the source and disconnect it. And it is an interesting process, because one of the challenges is we may not even be aware of it, and we wonder why our relationships aren't working the way we want. Sometimes you need an outside observer to say, are you aware this is happening? And that's when the healing starts.
Now, this is a bridal show, so we have young brides that are just getting married for the very first time, and the enthusiasm and excitement and effervescence and all of that bubbling over, you know, the joy and the anticipation and, you know, stepping into that new life with someone. And then we have people on the call who have been married 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and they're taking a chance and trying this again. And then we have people on the call who lost a spouse and their spouse was, you know, either killed in combat or very young or very ill, or somebody, you know, that was elderly and has passed away or was sick, you know, or from some problem or some pain, and now they're opening their heart and learning to love again. And then we have couples listening and learning the tools and the techniques to build and strengthen a relationship. So for all those levels, I know that you coach, and I was reading the testimonials, and oh my gosh, do people love you as a coach. So I mean, I just think people should go to your website, because there is, you know, there's just not enough room in the pages for all the people that say, yes, you can do my relationship, my life, my marriage, my health, my world, my happiness, my joy, I'm a different person because of you, you know, like I can jump and touch the moon, and like it's, the testimonials are great. So obviously on all these levels, you know, people can come to you for advice. And so,
yeah,
you know, how would they find you first? And then at what level on all those areas can you help people in their relationships with their heart as they're starting, as they're in a relationship, as they're starting over, you know, and to strengthen the relationships that they currently have? So I would just, you know, love to hear your view on that.
That's a loaded question or two. Let's start with the easy one. How they can find me is on my website, of course, which is thepassionconsultant.com. I do offer my clients initially, because it's vital, what I call a complimentary consult, so we get to know each other before we start, because that way I know and they know to want to work together, because I don't presume that every client who shows up is going to want to work with me, and I'm not going to be sure I want to work with them, because some people just want to be fixed. They don't care how. They don't even want the help. They don't want to participate in their own recovery, which is not very helpful. So to second the next piece, by the way, you can find out my website under coaching. I actually have a complimentary consult listed there. But it comes back to the core elements is relationship itself. So whether it is newlyweds or a couple together now, or somebody who's gone through a loss or a divorce, or even being a widow or widower, who's now marrying again, or who has been several times, there's always a chance to succeed versus fail if we take certain steps. And a large part of that, frankly, comes back to what I said about really loving yourself. And one of the things that I talk about a lot, and it's happened so many times, is a lot of times my clients realize they have a choice, or they've made a choice between being right and being happy or being loving, and made right more priority than loving. And it's so, sounds so simple, but it's profound when my clients understand that loving has more power, because that's where they start shifting out of the againstness and argumentative experience, or the suffering, frankly, self-inflicted, when they can see there's another choice. And so each client's different. I don't have a carte blanche ABC step for all my clients, because that would be unfair to them. So when I work with clients, it really is, where are they? Where are they now? What are they looking for? And I work with them where they are, because that's the only way I can do it with my clients, and it's the only way they'll have success in what they want.
So do you recommend that couples come to you before they get married?
Yes. simply putting it this way, because there's growth and evolution. I mean, one of the chapters in my book, which I'll mention shortly, in my book, I talk about 50 principles of relationship, and one of them I talk about is early in the relationship, it's vital that you go away together. Now, this is probably before they get married. The reason I say this is because for many people, they're in very familiar environments and surroundings and lifestyle when they meet their partner. So learning about your relationship happens more when you're out of your comfort zone, out of your familiar surroundings. So if you and your partner go away somewhere together that you both haven't been to before, ideally, you're both outside of your comfort zones, your familiar surroundings. And so then you get to know each other much more directly and viscerally. So you then go, yes, now I understand the person I want to be with. And the challenge sometimes, not all the time, is some couples get together on a level that is, in generic terms, chemically based, where there's the attraction that's so powerful and profound that they are drawn into that. And then they say, let's get married. And the debt isn't there yet. So working with couples, for me, a lot of times is taking them deeper into the connection so that what they have is much more sustainable and is also committed to the long journey. Because chemistry on its own will tend to peter out pretty quickly. It can be recharged, but it's not a way of living life.
That's great. And then what about couples that have been married for a while, like coming to you and learning these tools and techniques, can you help them strengthen their marriage and their relationship and their passion?
Absolutely. If now I'm going to be careful, I say this. If they are truly choosing to be together, I can help them deepen and reconnect and rebuild their chemistry. Because a lot of times what happens in relationships is that the couple becomes more buddy, less lover. And so by helping my clients reconnect on both the polarity of masculine and feminine attraction and on the depth of openness of heart, then it rekindles the love they started with and makes it even deeper than they were before. So yes, I do love helping couples go deeper and deeper, even though my quote, primary audience is singles. I have quite a few couples I work with too, and I love seeing that available loving get deeper and deeper and deeper. So yes, definitely I recommend working with couples. I should say I do love working with couples.
That's wonderful. And then what about the other side, people who have lost a spouse and they're looking to start over again, or they're just dealing with their own heart and grief and pain and trying to find the joy within themselves again?
That's the same idea, same for me in both ways, because not to belittle, but for many of us, we have pain from the past relationships that didn't work out, that didn't last or went away, whether it was from death or divorce or just separation. So we all have a different level and amount of healing available. And if there's sadness, if there's pain, there may be unresolved grief, which I help clients with as well, though that's not my primary focus. But it comes back to the heart being whole, being healthy, and being willing to love again. So yes, there is so much more available to all of us. So losing someone, it takes time, and the grieving process is part of the healing to move forward. So there's always more available to us, yes.
That's wonderful. Now I want to ask you, you have four words that are four of my favorite words on your website. And the first word you have, really big letters, is passion.
Yes.
And you are a passion consultant. So what to you is passion?
Passion is so many pieces. It's based in, I'd say, the joy of the heart. There's something about being so alive and joy-filled from our heart level that fuels us in life. And that's the passion of living. There are people who are very passionate about their soccer teams, their football teams, or their, you know, their baseball teams. That's not the same thing, although it can be. The passion for life, the joie de vivre, that inspirational way of being, that to me is what passion is really about. It's that really deep love, joy, excitement, exuberance, enthusiasm for life itself is what passion really for me is fueled by.
I just feel like I want to jump up with joy and dance around the room when you say that. And then the next word on your website says purpose.
Yes. You know, this one's more for the men initially, but I'll explain what I mean in a second. One of my big learning paradigms in my relationship history, which I didn't discover until I went through three dysfunctional relationships in a row that were the same flavor, is that for me as a masculine male, but for me, the truth is my misalignment was I'd lost touch with my masculinity as a male, not machoism or being a macho guy. It was that I lost touch with who I was as an authentic masculine male. And for me, what I discovered through one of my master teachers is that for men, we are more linear and sequential in how we do things. And one of the things a man must have in his life so he can have a healthy relationship is a clarity of purpose, mission, life, direction. And I didn't know what that was. So when I got into a relationship, I'd be somewhat, to be blunt, wishy-washy. And I'd be with my girlfriend and whatever she wanted, say, whatever you want, honey. And she got really tired of that because she wanted a man who took charge and took direction that supported her being in flow and in grace. So that was a pivot point for me. Now, we all, men and women, have purpose in life. And it's up to us to discover what that is for ourselves. It could be raising a family or it could be changing the world, or anything in between. So purpose is something personal. And I'm very passionate about us having that in the world because our world needs more and more of us living true to our calling, our nature, our purpose in life, so we can actually help the planet become a better place than that.
It's by one of my very favorite wedding songs. And, you know, certainly a song that I had, you know, etched out and thought, gosh, you know, when I get married, this is a song I would love played at my wedding, is a song called I Do from a Broadway show, The Last 5 Years. And in the song, as they're saying the I Do, you know, she says, you know, I'm going to be complete. I'll never be alive. Even if I will change the world until I do. You know, so it's that his, you know, his whole point and purpose is all connected within the love, the relationship, the romance, you know, and it's the completion of, you know, that person. And so I always love it. Whether they say that, you know, for men, there's always a point and there's always a purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, slay the dragon, do the thing.
Exactly, yes.
The light bulb, whatever that is. And, you know, I know that Alison Armstrong is a friend of mine, and Alison mm-hmm. teaches, you know, a lot of courses on women and relationships, and she even teaches a woman when she's, like, sharing her day to say to a man, I want to tell you about, you know, my afternoon, and there's no point and there's no purpose, and that a guy can go, oh, great, and just relax. And just listen to her, you know, talk about this person she met or the shoe store or whatever. But that to preface it where there's no point and no purpose. Otherwise, he's listening for the point and purpose.
And also, and I love Alison Armstrong's work. Her work's amazing. I love listening to her. I've listened to quite a few audios, and I participate in some of her groups. I love that she talks about this because she also speaks to which one of the key things about the difference between men and women. When a woman is upset and voicing her upset, we as men have a reflex to fix things. We're fixing fat people, so we want to find solutions. And when a woman is upset, the last thing she needs to be fixed. And so having recognition that she is allowing her upset to come forward, it's a man's place of strength and honor to allow that storm to come past him and not do anything about it except allow it through. And that was a pivot point to watch, again, for the argument experience, but also to understand how men and women can help each other versus hurting each other. So, yeah, I love her work.
Yes, I do too. I just think it's so wonderful. And then that brings me to the next word, which I think that is probably the word that we hear most on this radio show and most in the bridal magazines. And you know, as for history for me, you know, I wrote 29 romance novels. So I have spent years, you know, swimming in the world of romance, and I'm a Cancer, so by nature I'm supposed to be very romantical, right? Isn't that what they said? And so, but I love when you see that word written, and it's so rare on a website, and especially on a man's website, to see the word romance. Romance. It's such a beautiful word, even just written. Romance. So tell us about romance.
Yes. Well, your sign may be Cancer. Mine is Pisces, so I'm a full-on romantic. So I definitely understand that. But for me, romance is, boy, it's a lifestyle, first of all, in some ways. But truthfully, in a relationship, it's going beyond just loving somebody. And it's about the ability to keep being spontaneous and creative and excited about being together. Romance has so many flavors. In fact, going back to the book again, one of the chapters I talk about in the book keep coming up is that if you run out, if you're tired of the dinner and flowers experience of romance, get creative. Go online and do a web search for romance how to. And it sounds so mundane, but you can find thousands and thousands of suggestions, ideas, how to's on being romantic. And I actually have a free handout that goes in the book for my client, for my audience, that has in it 140-something romantic ideas, because I said if you're too lazy to go online and search, there's a handout for you. So it's kind of being facetious. But the truth is, romance is how you are together, what you do together, how you play together. And I love how romance can be an everyday practice.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. And that brings me to the last word on the website, which is love. And, you know, certainly you teach people to, you know, communicate with their heart. We're going to talk about your book in just a second. But let's, you know, before we talk to you about your book, this is so significant that these words, passion, purpose, romance, and love are on your site. And that these are the insightful things. These are the things you help people reach the heart, reach inside, connect to their visions, connect to their dreams. Like I was saying in your testimonials, oh my gosh, people, they love deeper, they love better, they understand what they love, they love life, they have now a connection to the things that they have always loved, and not only that, but you teach them how to make that a reality, the things that they love come true, and you know, actually come into play and come into a three-dimensional world and not just an idea in their head, and that you're able to do that. And I see, you know, person after person after person that now, you know, things that they've always loved, things that they've wanted, things connecting them with their love, their heart, their romance, their relationship. And so, love, take just a brief breath, a minute, and tell our viewers and our listeners, you know, you're the Barry Selby Dictionary, Pictionary on love.
Boy, you loaded that one up with a big word too. Love it. In some ways, it's funny because I actually got to be on an interview for a possible TV show a couple of years ago, and one of the questions they asked at the back end was, if you could say in one word what's life about, what would it be? And I said love, just without thinking about it. Because for me, it is vital to our life, our existence, our living. And it's been misinterpreted, it's been overridden, it's been ignored, it's been subdued, yet love is who and what we are, really. I mean, if we want to get spiritual about this, we are love personified, expressed in the world. So when I talk about love, it's more than just romantic love or, oh, I'm in love with this person. It's about a way of expressing who we are, yes, in relationships, but also in interactions when it's helping somebody on and off the bus, or it's about how we take care of the waiter at the restaurant, or how we just treat anybody. It's through loving. And it's not about romantic necessarily or sexual attraction. It could be unconditional loving, which is service. So love for me is a way of life. And it's, who's it I came through, it's the best way of life.
Okay, so what a beautiful description. And so that is just going to be my yellow brick road down this road right now for the book. So you wrote a book called 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. So
yes.
Obviously love is the theme of this book. So tell me first how you decided to write a book, what, you know, propelled you. Did you wake up one morning and it's sort of like Groundhog's Day or whatever the movie where the alarm goes off and you jumped out of bed and said, I've got it, I want to share this with the world? Or was it a series of people bumping into walls and you just saw that they were bruised and you wanted to help more people? Or what drew you and compelled you to write this book? And it's one of the best titles I've ever heard, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. And certainly that encompasses so much. And 50 is a lot. 50 is, you know, if you give people one way to love their lover, they're good for life. And you have 50 ways. So, you know, talk about the book.
Well, you've done a great job already. To make it less, a little bit less glamorous in the sense of how it came about, it wasn't an epiphany where I was going to just create a book. Actually, it was the last thing I planned on doing. Literally what happened was I got inspired by a suggestion from a good friend to put out in social media and in my interactions what I believe about relationships, what I believe about love and about romance. So I literally put out short descriptions of what I call principles, and just came through that way. And I did two or three a day, and after about a month I had 50, 55 different principles, and I realized there was value in this. I realized there was much more to it than just simply saying, oh hey, look at these and go with it. So after I avoided it for about five more weeks, because the voices inside were saying, write a book, write a book, write a book, I finally said, okay, I get it, I need to write the book. So I sat down and literally wrote out the 50 principles. Well, just say 55 and distill them to 50 and then explain what I meant by each one of them. And this book became real. And it was an incredible experience of looking down and seeing, yes, this is what I believe, this is what I teach, this is what I've learned, and realizing how much value there was in that for other people that I keep learning from too. And, you know, the 50 principles are diverse. It's not 50 positions in a relationship by any means, but it's 50 ways, and there are 50 principles in about seven or eight sections that are delineated about our relationship with ourselves, each other, the world, relationships that make our life, our romance, our relationships so much greater, so much better.
No, that's amazing. Now, you talked about how people find you for your coaching. And so how do people find the book? Are you on Amazon? Are you an ebook? Or you can somebody go buy this in a bookstore? How does somebody get their hands on 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, which I think everybody on this call is probably racing, wanting to know? They should all have pens in hand because everybody wants these 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, especially on a wedding show. Everybody, this should be your bedside table book. So how does somebody get a copy of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover?
Well, at this moment, my book is a digital download for immediate access. So it's much easier for people to have and carry around on their iPad or their iPhone or their computer. And I created it that way initially because I wanted to get it out in the world fast. And also, it's been evolving a couple of times, and now it's in its final form. So right now, it's on my website, of course. If you go to thepassionconsultant.com and either put /book, or you can find the book on my website, you can just buy it right there. And to let you know that there is an audio version coming, because I've had many women, for some reason, demand that I create an audio version of my book because they love my voice, which is totally it's stroking my ego, but I'm actually very grateful that I can do that for them. So there will be a physical book coming too. But right now, the digital version is immediately available on my website.
That's great. I absolutely just adore that. I really do. And it is. I mean, just, you know, I think I was sharing with the audience last week saying, and Barry's coming, and he's, you know, your voice is just, it's so wonderful every time. Sometimes I am so excited when you don't answer the phone and I just get your voice now, because it's like, oh, I love this voice now. It's so nice. It's such a beautiful way to leave a message. And so it's just terrific. So now on your website, you also have something that catches everybody's eye, which is 3 keys to stop playing Russian roulette in your romance. And that's a really powerful image, especially after, you know, we've been seeing so much violence in the United States and in other countries. And Russian roulette, you always think of that as not really a game of chance, but it's a deadly game, obviously.
Yes.
And
inevitable.
You know, it really is that, you know, sooner or later somebody's just going to get blown away. And so when I saw that, you know, because your website is just like passion, love, romance, you know, like it's joy and happy and marriage, the greatest things and sliced bread, and, you know, and it's all true and it's all right and it all rings. And then there's this thing that says 3 keys to stop playing Russian roulette in your romance, that you just stop and pause and go, wow. So that seems pretty important. They seem like things that people would need to know, though. So how did you come up with that, and how do you offer that to people? And are there suggestions that people don't get blown away in a relationship, that you can open your heart safely and not, you know, not just make the wrong step that's going to just explode you? And how does explode your heart and explode your little soul and your tenderness and your trust in, you know, loving again? And how do we get, you know, even for myself, you know, and I'm the most loving person I know, and still there are times you get guarded and you go, oh, am I okay? Am I safe? Is this okay? You know, and so how do you know?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the video series is something I offer to my client, or to my audience, period. You can simply go to my website and you sign in and you can get it right there. So it's on my website. If you go to the front page or the welcome page, you can just put in thepassionconsultant.com or thepassionconsultant.com /welcome. There's a free video series. You sign up there. All I ask for is your email address and your name, and you'll get the free video series sent to you one each day. But the truth is, that gives you the understanding. But if you want to change and transform, then I invite you to become a client. I love the idea of hands-on help to really help my clients, my audience, and everybody have a healthy relationship by doing the right steps in the right order to get there. You know, there are some people who purport to teach like quick fix, and some people who look for a quick fix. And sometimes it can happen fairly quickly, but it's not a one-step done fixed experience. I know from watching my own experiences and watching my clients' experiences, it takes a few pieces of the puzzle to have the relationship they really want. But when they get it, it's worth every moment. So I'd say I have room in my calendar for a few more clients, and certainly the video series is a freebie, so check it out.
That's great.
Now, can you help someone like me, someone not in a relationship, people that are looking for a relationship, to not make mistakes and not get exploded in the future?
Absolutely. That's actually the best. Well, sorry, I don't want to say anything. I don't say anything so much to the newlyweds who already listen to your radio show, but those who are single, to be truly frank, if you're single, it's the best time to clean up your history, your experience, your journey, so you're better prepared and you're also more clear about what you're attracting in relationships. So absolutely, they're my favorite clients, to be honest, because we have a free slate to paint on. That's wonderful. And yes, those are the couples I help them too. Just want to remind you that. But certainly if you're single, I love to help.
That's wonderful. Now, you know, in listening to all of this, and you were talking about that you had three relationships in a row or several relationships in a row where you were the common denominator or the common
mm-hmm.
factor. And how did you know it was wrong? How did you know this was just like it was before or it was different than before, but it's still not? What was the sign that this isn't passion, purpose, romance, and love, that this isn't what it should be, and there's a problem, and I'm not happy, and this doesn't feel like what I'm supposed to have? Or what did you go through personally that led you to this work, and how did you know it wasn't right?
Well, in full disclosure, as it were, it was three relationships in a row, and each one in a row, they broke up with me. First of all, that was a signpost. It's like, okay, well, I got dumped three times in a row. What's going on? That was kind of the first red flag. But to distill it down, as I mentioned earlier about being out of touch with my masculinity, what had happened was over several years of doing a lot of inner work and spiritual work, I'd already opened up my heart in a very caring, compassionate place. And what I was unknowingly doing was finding that my attraction to women was for women who were very powerful. But I didn't yet delineate. They were powerful as masculine women in the world. They were doing strong things, they were directional, doing basically what masculine men do, because women can do it too. And there was this thing about them that was so exciting and so attractive, I was in love almost from the get-go. And it's happened three times in a row. And the last time was the wake-up call, because what she said to me was, it's almost like the first couple of times, Spirit was like, hope you learn from this. The third time was, okay, you need to learn this lesson. So my then ex-girlfriend, soon to be ex-girlfend, said to me she was tired of the relationship because what she really wanted was a guy like her grandfather, who was this cowboy back in the West, or should I say in the Midwest at that time, who was a very, she said the word macho, but what I got was I was no longer a man. In fact, I lost touch with my heart as a man, as a masculine male in the world. I'd become so sensitive that I was becoming the feminine side of the relationship. Now, masculine feminism isn't about sexual preference or about gender roles. It can be either way. But what I discovered, and this is what led me to the next 6 years of my work, was to really shift my understanding of how we relate to each other and where our natural repose is. And I've always been attracted to beautiful women, but what was drawing me was a piece that pulled me out of my masculine and to attract the masculine woman to fill in the piece I was not holding on to. And so what happened was, that was in December a few years ago, and then in my prayer was, okay, I now know what's off. I didn't know how to fix it. All these years of study I've had and having my master's degree and all these different teachings, there was a piece missing from my toolkit, and I didn't know what it was. And I asked God, as it were, that I need help, please, something. And within 3 months, I met someone who led me to a teacher who led me to the work I'm now doing, which is understanding the polarity of masculine and feminine in a way that really, for me, functionally works. And now it's known from one of the teachers I love, because she thinks about this, and so does David Data, and so does, of course, John Gray, who's the grandfather of this work in the sense of Mars and Venus. I really get now more than ever how we are more called to be authentic, and it's one of my core values, as masculine and feminine in the relationship. And for me, in my own relationships, is how do I stay true to my heart as a masculine male, and lead and be the heart-centered, strong-spined man that women love, and how do I teach other men to do that, and how do I teach women to attract that in their mate. So it's kind of the underlying theme of my work in a lot of ways. How do we attract that polar opposite that is like two magnets that really are attracted to each other? That's what the true chemistry is about.
Mm-hmm.
is that polarity of attraction is the juice in relationships, not a word. That was kind of my journey, if that answers your question correctly.
Oh, that's perfect. You know, we had Lisa Conrad Cohen on last week, and she's a matchmaker. And one of the things that we were talking about was chivalry. Like, for me, you know, I love to have a car door opened or a chair pulled out or somebody to open a door for me. And that it's interesting that when people don't do it, I'm so blown away. Like, I stand there waiting for someone to open the car door, and they don't open the car door, and I'm thinking, what just happened? It's almost like I don't understand what just happened. And then when I talk to men sometimes, they say, well, I used to do that, and then, you know, women didn't like that I opened the car door or whatever, like, or they wanted to do it themselves. And so I stopped doing it, and it's such a fine line. And what do you think about that balance? And, you know,
well, see, one of the things I'm grateful for is that I was born and raised in England, and it wasn't from a very, you know, posh family, but just it was manners. I mean, being a gentleman is kind of in my blood, thankfully, and I'm grateful for it because it teaches me, even when I was out of alignment with my masculinity, that taught me how to treat a woman as a lady. And there was a Facebook dialogue a couple of days ago where that was coming up in conversation, where men were saying they feel it's frustrating because they want to be able to help a woman by helping her on with a coat, opening the car door. And I said, you know, I, for one, won't stop doing that. And those who don't want it will make it clear. But those who do, or those who are surprised by it, will benefit from that. And it's simply being a gentleman. It's not about, okay, I want to sleep with you, so I'm going to open the door for you, because that's the whole confusion that shows up. It's not about being respectful and honoring of the feminine. And some women, to be honest, have chosen to be more masculine because of their lifestyle, their business, whatever it is. We don't necessarily find that valuable for them. And truthfully, that's the choice. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the choice. So I choose to still offer that and step into it until I'm either told not to or accepted for doing it.
Well, I love you, Barry. So glad.
Thank you.
You know, but it's definitely, it was something that, you know, we were talking about last week, and it's just so interesting being a woman today. And, you know, I'm very blessed. This morning, you know, I had a beautiful brunch with a friend of mine. There's a gentleman, and the very first thing he did was he pulled out the chair when I arrived at the restaurant. And there's something to that, you know, when a man does that. And you know, so you're talking about macho, but there are different levels of macho. Macho is not just like going out hunting and foraging and killing food and, you know, whatever. And, you know, motorcycles and jumping out of planes is something that pulling out a chair for a woman is very macho.
Well,
you know, opening a car door is very much.
Well, see, and this is maybe a language thing for me, but for me, macho and masculine are two different things. Macho is basically cojones, is what you put it.
Back in the old,
for those of you who remember that far back, who watched Archie Bunker and all his family, Archie Bunker was a macho guy, and Edith Bunker was his wife, and she was very meek. And that was really the old paradigm of relationships that was pre-independent relationships, that was very codependent functionally. But also, it was kind of like, this is the way, my way, the highway, this is the way it is, and tough luck. Whereas masculine has the strength of that, but with the heart open at the same time. So having the care to pull the chair back for a woman, to put a coat, help her with a coat, open the door, that's out of caring, not out of, I should do this so I can be, you know, nice, you know, it should be nice. It's not done from a place of macho. It's heart-based masculinity. It's like having a strong, clear vision of who we are and having a life that is lived from places of chivalry, of gentlemanly conduct, of being honorable as a man.
That's great clarification. Thank you for that. That's terrific. That really
is. My pleasure.
And then I saw on your website also you have something that says the steps to attract love and how to get what you want. And so if somebody's calling you and they're listening to this call today, do they say that? Do they say, Barry, I'm lost? I don't know how to attract the right person, or every time I bring someone in, like you said, it's a pattern, and all of a sudden, you know, I find myself, you know, in this vicious cycle, hamster, you know, wheel or whatever of relationships, and are people clear when they call you what they need, or do people just call you and say, I'm lost, and you can just hear their heart?
It's honestly a range. There isn't one type of call I get. It's oftentimes it's funny, I get a lot of people who think they know what they want and they want just clarity and help to get over the last hump, and that's actually quite often inaccurate because they do need more help than that. But again, because every client's different, when I work with them, it's really about where they are and what they're looking for and what's in the way of that. So for some, it is a place of being totally lost or hurt or just, I've done this 3 times in a row and I'm tired of it, I need help, what do I need to do? To, I have this relationship I'm attracted to, but I want to walk into the right way, can you help me realign so I can attract what I really want with this person? So it has a whole range of what's available and what I work with, because everyone's different and everyone's different places in relationship, thankfully, so we all have a unique way of being in relationship. So there isn't one particular flavor, so just to answer it, there's a variety of reasons people seek my help. From they're in a relationship now, having difficulties, or in fact, one recent couple, they've been together a year and they wanted to go deeper. They were doing great, but they knew there was more. They wanted to get there, which is a really exciting way to play, because there was no, oh, we're in trouble. It was like, how do we go deeper? How do we get more? So that was fun. So the range is very wide.
Mm-hmm. I think that everybody on this call should reach out and work with you. I really do. Whether you're looking for that relationship and it's your heart's desire to have that dream person in your life and that happily ever after, I think that if that is the dream and that is the calling of the heart, that somebody should reach out to you. I think that if a couple is just starting on their life together and somebody's getting married and you're looking to make the right steps and to open your heart in honesty and to really be able to communicate in a deeper and certainly a clearer way and a way coming from passion, purpose, romance, and love, that they should contact even, like you're saying, couples that have been in relationships for years that actually know that now they can rekindle, like you were saying, that sexuality and that passion, or they can even go to a deeper place that they didn't even know existed in their relationship or in themselves by opening their hearts in a very, you know, deep and profound way and certainly giving themselves an opportunity to really have love on this planet, what they call heaven on earth, right, or that thing. And so I think that the work that you're doing and your transparency of your own life and how you've transcended that into opening your own heart and sharing it with the communities around you as well as with your clients. And like I said, I've been witness, you know, at events where literally people just light up. They see you and it's like a little bell goes off inside of them and people just race towards you. And there's some people are so drawn to your heart and to who you are, and it's such an honor and a pleasure for me every time I see you. And I'm one of those puppy people that as soon as I see you, I jump up and down, and so I know what that feels like, and it's great when I see other people do it. And so and I'm like, oh, look, he really does that to everybody. But I know
Thank
in
you.
Myself, you know, I always get elated and excited at the opportunity that I see you, and you know, certainly every time I run into you, it's always like Christmas for me. It's always, there's just like,
oh,
such a magical
you.
Gift. It really is. And I'm so honored and so blessed that you're on the show today and sharing yourself and your phenomenal book, which I'm telling you, this is, we're going to put this on our website, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. And
Wonderful.
I certainly
Thank
think
you.
That this is something that everybody should reach out. We will also put your information on our website so people can reach out to you for your coaching and reach out to you for your services. But I recommend, if you are on this call, to go to thepassionconsultant.com to check out your website, to see the multitudes of testimonials of people who, you know, are just spinning and dancing in the heavens because of you and your work with them. And it's just so nice to know. And, you know, and you have to be very proud too, I mean, to come to this world and come to this planet and to come to this life and to have a calling to actually help people open their heart and love at a deeper level. I don't think there could be a better calling. And so what a truly special man you are, and how lucky we are that we get to share with you on the show today. So
thank you so much. Truthfully, I mean, I'm not surprised. I love that I feel more humble than anything else. There's a humility that I love that I can give this way. It's so touching to me. So yes, I'm grateful and thankful that I finally got it. I mean, for many years I didn't do this, so I'm grateful now that I finally know what my heart's work is and what I love to do, and serving so many people is a joy.
That's great. And so before you go off today, what we ask the guests at the end of the show is one tidbit, one piece of advice for happily ever after couple.
Boy, just one. let's see. Okay, for couples who are getting together.
Yes.
I'll say it this way. This is not a new one that I've heard before, but the truth is we have one mouth, two ears. Listen more than you speak. It's so key for us to be willing to hear the other person fully, not just from what they're saying, but feeling where they're coming from. And by doing that, we'll be much more willing to dialogue versus react. So that's a big piece you can use from there.
I just absolutely love that. And I think, you know, as we collect these tidbits and pieces of advice, and our listeners every week that are getting these tools and techniques and certainly gems on how to make the relationship work, how lucky they are to have you, Barry Selby, come to us today and share your heart and your love and your wisdom and your knowledge and your compassion and your faith and trust and, you know, all of that, and be able to help, you know, our brides really have that happily ever after. So I thank you for joining us. And so look forward to reading 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. It is the very next thing I read. So, and I will, as I come back on the show, we will report on that to, you know, our wonderful listeners and dialogue with them. But I'm just so thrilled you were with us today. So
it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you, Barry. And then for our listeners, we look forward to you joining us next Sunday at 2 o'clock. We have such exciting, exciting programming coming up. We have Shelley Lefko, who is talking to us from the Lefko Institute on step-parenting, which is just invaluable information for people that are getting married and somebody that has a family, that has a child, and integrating that family. We have real estate advice on how to buy your very first house, which is just unbelievably exciting on how to do that. We have how to feng shui your bedroom for romance, for sex, for love. If you want to have a child, we have Dr. Lise Janelle talking about how to get over those wedding jitters. And we have Melissa Terry talking to us about how to not bump into walls when you come up against something in yourself and you don't understand why you can't break through that barrier or get to the other side. And so whether that be in your own personal life or whether that's dealing with the band or whether that's dealing with somebody that's doing your wedding invitations or your mother-in-law or your sisters or crazy friends or whatever it is that you're dealing with going through this process of the wedding, and you come up against a wall and you don't know why, and everything should be easy and it should be effortless and it should be blissful, not only at this time that you're getting married but always. And how do we make sure that we don't hit walls and that our whole life is in flow and in joy and in ecstasy and peace and happiness? And Melissa is incredible. And I'm so excited because I have lots of questions. I have so many questions for Melissa when she's on in my own life. And, you know, certainly we can all go through those together and learn in the process. So I thank you for being with us. Today's guest was just spectacular, Barry Selby. He's the Passion Consultant, and his books, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. We are all going to get a copy of this, and we are going to take notes, and certainly we will love to love each other in a much grander and deeper way. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of Hourglass Bride, which is part of our Dream Body Dream Day series, and we so look forward to you joining us next week. So have a wonderful week, and may all your romance and love and joy and dreams come true. Wishing you the happily ever after. This is Nicole Brandon from Hourglass Brides. Have a wonderful day.